It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars win 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
What is up, Cougar Nation? Football is back. BYU football, day three, taking place. It might be wrapping up right now down in Provo, Utah. It's a closed practice, no media observation, but football is underway. BYU football's had three practices now, and today's show, no surprise, Mitch Harper, is going to be a lot of football, and more football as we are just building up to the opener at South Florida.
4 weeks from today, BYU at South Florida, and you'll hear all the action right here on KSL News Radio. But yeah, we're going to have a lot of football conversation this afternoon over the next 3 hours. We'll have BYU wide receiver Gunnar Romney joining the program. We'll share our camp observations, discuss the big storylines out of camp, and also discuss how good this offense could potentially be. That's one of our poll questions today for you, the listener. But let's start things off with fall camp in the leadoff.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, back on Thursday, Matt and I and Dallin, our producer, the maestro of the top five, we were all down there in Provo at the student athlete building, taking in day one of camp, and it was fun to be back at practice to feel like it's a little bit of a normal fall camp again. That was one of the positives. We weren't socially distanced. Last year, we got a chance to see some practices, but it was all kind of spacing and mask, and this year felt like normal, and it was great to be out there on the balcony at the student athlete building and take in some BYU football practice.
Yeah, it was, and I liked being on the balcony, too, for those of you who remember when you used to be able to go as a fan, that balcony was coveted property for a good reason with the shade covers. So that was very nice. Let's start on the offensive side of the football. We want to give you guys some observations from what we saw in person, and then we also had KSL 5 TV crew there. They were able to shoot some footage as well. So we have that, and we also got some footage from BYU. So between our vantage point and these video clips that we have, I think we have a good idea what the first couple practices were like down at BYU. And on the offensive side of the football, something that really jumped out to me, Mitch, was, and don't take this the wrong way because it's not a slight at all, but I think the running back room is going to be fine. Like, you never want to lose a guy like Tyler Algier, and I think that number that he put up last year when he broke the single-season rushing record, that might stand for a long, long, long time.
Yep.
But I came away very impressed with Chris Brooks. He had one run where he bounced it outside the tackle box and put it into another gear. And I'm like, dang, this dude might be faster than Algier. And he's big, too. And then Jackson McChesney was a recipient of a lot of checkdowns, which to me is a good thing. We can argue that later if you want, how many checkdowns there were in the media observation practice, portion of practice. He had some runs in between the tackles. No shoulder pads, no pads at all, just lids, just helmets. So what can you really take from the run game? It is hard to say, but I walked away feeling like, okay, I think the running game is still going to be a strength for BYU, and they have multiple options in that backfield.
They definitely do. And Christopher Brooks, I think, Matt, is going to have a season where he rushes for over 1,000 yards. I don't think
that's crazy.
I know. I feel like seeing what we've seen in spring ball and then the first day of fall camp and the work that he's put in and the feedback we get from coaches on Chris Brooks and with the offensive line that's in front of him, I think he's due for a big year. And right now I think the storyline around the running backs is maybe it's running back by committee. I don't think that's going to be the case over the course of the season. I think Christopher Brooks is going to emerge as that bell cow running back for BYU, and he's going to be the go-to guy. Now, I think if he needs a breather, you're going to work in Jax McChesney and Lopini Katoa, maybe Miles Davis as well, who I thought looked a little bit bigger as well physically, and he's still, you know, he's only a third-year freshman. Miles Davis, he's been around for a while, still got a lot of football ahead of him at BYU. But Chris Brooks, he's impressive, and I think any worry that BYU's going to suddenly have a massive drop-off at running back, don't kid yourself. I think BYU's going to be in great hands with Chris Brooks at running back, and he is going to be outstanding. If he can stay healthy, he's due for a big year.
I think he will be the bell cow running back, but I think Jackson McChesney has earned a role. Where last year, Mitch, I think you saw Tyler Allgeier was just so good, and he earned it with his 2020 play, that it was basically, if you can play, you're going to play. And that's why he was able to set the single-season rushing record, because he played nearly the entire game week after week after week. And that's also a testament to the work that he put in with his body, that he's able to take that punishment and still have as many carries as he did. I do think Brooks will have significantly less carries than Allgeier did.
Yeah.
Just because – and I think Brooks will be the bell cow. I think he's number one. But I think McChesney and Katoa have also earned the right to play. So if I had to like put a breakdown on it, I'd say Brooks is high teens in carries, and then McChesney and Katoa probably split another 10 carries. And then you're looking at, you know, in a perfect world, you're getting 30 to 35 rushes a game.
And I'm curious to see what Katoa's role is this year, because last season he was dealing with a little bit of injuries, also had the personal off-the-field struggles where his mom was dealing with cancer, and now she's doing great in her recovery there. Curious to see what happens with Katoa this year, because I will say if McChesney is, say, on equal footing as Katoa, maybe you go with the young guy. Because McChesney, like Miles Davis, it feels like he's been around forever. I mean, we've been hearing about McChesney. He got offered a scholarship. He committed to BYU when Bronco was the head coach. And we've been hearing about this name for a long time, and he's only a sophomore. So you wonder that if they're on equal footing, maybe you give the edge to McChesney, who I think he's a nice running back. I mean,
and the thing
that I like about these running backs too, Lopini included, Brooks, McChesney, they're good pass catchers out of the backfield. And that's going to be an element that's going to be a lot of fun to see with this BYU offense, that Allgeier was outstanding running the football, but I think there's going to be another gear to this offense with how versatile these running backs are in the pass game.
Yeah, and I think the pass game is where you're going to see Katoa the most. He is such a good pass catcher. I think he has a lot of value in a jet sweep type of role, yeah, in screen passes and media observation. We saw some quick shotgun-like snaps to quarterbacks, or it was a quick pass out on a bubble screen. Brooks had one of those, so I think that's a place that makes sense for Katoa. So I think he'll have a role, but the nice thing is across the offense, and this was also apparent at Media Observation Day, with the exception of quarterback, depth is there. I just feel like, okay, if Chris Brooks were to go down, a knock on wood, we don't want that to happen. I mean, Brooks looks fantastic. I hope he's upright for the whole season. But if he goes down, I feel like you can get a lot of production,
yep,
from the other guys. At wide receiver, same thing. At tight end, I'm feeling good about the depth there. It's nice to see Isaac Rex running around. Now, I want to see how he bounces back after a physical day in full pads, because that was not the case.
Right.
But it was encouraging to see him doing more than I thought he might do on day one. So I just feel like the depth, that's a word we've heard so often in Independence era. Depth. Do we have the depth? Offensively, I think they do have the depth.
They do have the depth. And I think that, Matt, this offense honestly doesn't have many weaknesses. And I know Cougar fans listening are thinking, oh, no, they're getting into the fall camp hype train where they're just going to take us down the tracks and think it's all hunky-dory. And then come midseason, BYU's going to have a two-game losing streak, and they're going to go, where was all that talk in fall camp about all the depth? The thing is that you can't control how good some of the opponents are, but I think BYU's going to be a team that's competitive in every game, and the offense is not going to be a liability. If Jaren Hall is healthy, there's no weakness with this offense, and the weakness really is maybe in the backups. I think Jacob Conover was solid. I don't think he was spectacular from what we saw. It was really a small sample size. We got a little bit more intel on Cade Finnegan, the Boise State transfer, who was very limited in spring practices. He was dealing with an injury to where he was not full go, so we got a little bit more insight into his game. But I just trying to be as objective as possible with this BYU offense. I don't see many weaknesses, Matt. Yeah. I just think that there's so many talented personnel here, and I just think the sky's the limit. And that's where we ask the question on to you, the listener, on our KSL Sports Twitter feed and also on the text line, 57500. What's your expectations as a fan for BYU's offense in 2022? Top 10, top 25, top 50? I am smacking the top 10. I might even say top 5, Matt,
whoa,
because I think this BYU offense, there's just no glaring weakness. It might be the best offense of the independence era. I think this group is as talented as they come that we've seen since the days of Max Hall when he was the quarterback at BYU.
I'm top 10. That's where I voted on this. Anything less than that to me would be a disappointment when you consider you bring back Jaren Hall, who was productive in his first year as a starter. He's experienced. By every account, he's taken a giant leap forward. He even said so in media availability on Thursday that the game is slowing down. That's always a good sign when a quarterback can identify things quicker. The offensive line is as talented as it's ever been in BYU football. There's just so much depth, and there's so much. The thing that I like, too, is because this isn't the first year that BYU's had depth. I feel like we have heard frequently on the offensive line, oh, we can play 8, 9, 10. Okay, that's great, but, like, do you have three studs that are upper echelon? Like, that's great, you can play 10, but is nobody separating? That's not the case this year for BYU's offensive line, where Freeland is a potential first-round pick. I think you could say the same about Kingsley Suamataia. And then you have NFL guys like Clark Barrington, maybe Connor Pay in there as well, Campbell Barrington. There's a lot of upper echelon talent and depth on the offensive line. And that's where it all begins. Like, there's been teams in the past, Mitch, in the independent era, where they had the quarterback, they had the skill positions, they even had the running back, Jamal Williams. But they did not have good enough play in the trench. And that's where they got beat. In a lot of those Utah games, that's where they got beat, at the line of scrimmage. It wasn't the skills. It wasn't the alleged gap of talent. It was in the trench. That's not going to be the case this year, especially in the offensive line.
And I think that's what gives BYU reason for optimism, despite the tough schedule and the quality of play they're going to face in the trenches against teams like Notre Dame, Arkansas, Baylor, is that they've got the trench play to have success. And you know, I would not be surprised if Aaron Roderick's in a situation where he plays 7 or 8 guys in games along the offensive line, because I don't get the vibe that there's a drop-off where you could play Harris LeChance at right guard, you swing Campbell Barrington also into right guard, there's no drop-off.
Joe Tukuafu, too.
Right, Joe Tukuafu, who is a guy that's got a lot of experience. It's a bummer when you have to deal with a lot of injuries like BYU has last season and back in 2019. But in seasons like this where you've gotten a little bit older, you've gotten so experienced, and we know that BYU is willing to give players the chance to play, they rotate a lot of guys, and it's beneficial because you run through the personnel, and a lot of these guys have started, they've made impacts in games, and then, oh, by the way, you pair it up with young guys like a Kingsley Suamataia, who's one of the highest-rated prospects that BYU has ever signed. So there's a lot of reason for optimism with this offense, and it all starts, too, with Jaren Hall, who looks as good as he's going to be. You know, he looks like he's due for a special year. We'll talk more about Jaren coming up in hour number 3.
All right, we'll take the break on the other side. Let's get to some defensive observations from the first day of BYU fall camp. Back after this, Cougar Sports Saturday right here on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.